blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 133, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Within thy temple, Lord, we think on mercies past. Let earth all praise accord, long as thy name shall last. And the righteous judgments of her king, let Zion and her daughters sing. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 133.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, in the 8th chapter, in the first 22 verses. Matthew 8, verses 1 through 22. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, thou who hast watched over, thou who hast protected us, and thou who hast given unto us again a measure of health and strength, and that we may come to the first Sabbath day in this new year, and that we may be enabled to gather again in thy house of prayer, around this thine everlasting word and testimony. Lord, it is thy own word. It is not the word of a man. And then there is nothing in thy holy word that shall be left unfulfilled. It is a word that has been tried, purified seven times. And it is a word which thou wilt use for the conversion of thy church, even when man is so empty, and when man has from his side nothing. Lord, thou art able to bless, thou art able to sanctify, and thou art able to bring even the most simple word into the heart of a sinner. and it is our only hope and our only expectation in this morning hour, when we may be gathered to speak and to listen. For what are we, O Lord, but vanity and carnality? What are we but of the earth earthy? And when thou givest not thy spirit, then everything is all void. It is all empty, within and without. But when thou wilt come, Lord, when thou wilt come with thy spirit, when thou wilt speak, when thou wilt fill us, then it shall be full. Then there shall be a crumb for those who are dogs, and who, as this centurion, were are unworthy that thou shouldest enter under their roof, but that to come up, saying, Lord, speak the word only. One word for my poor soul and for the souls of my dear children. Lord, then in this morning hour, we are to install office bearers once again. And thou knowest what is necessary for thy church to continue here below, also in the midst of us, that thou may so remember those that are to be installed once more. Thou knowest everything that lives from day to day within their hearts. And thou knowest also the office to which that thou hast called them. Lord, that thou may undergird, that thou may strengthen them, and that thou may cause them to be a blessing in the midst of us, that there may be in the midst of us those that may carry them upon the wings of prayer, those that may lay the office bearers before the throne of grace, those that may see, those that may receive an impression of the holiness of that office, and the great privilege that thou still continuest that office in the midst of us as a people who are so unworthy of it. Lord, that thou may so bless the offices in the midst of us and for the upbuilding of thy church. But then it is so necessary that as office bearers we are taught by thee, Lord, how can we do our work except that thou wilt instruct us? How can we be a prophet to this people except that thy spirit does guide us, and except that we are instructed in the depth of our own wretchedness and in the depth of that mystery of a free and sovereign grace which thou wilt bestow upon wretched and miserable sinners. Lord, that this may be the instruction that thou may give to each one of us, that in the midst of the flock over which thou hast made us overseers, we may be as beacons, as a light upon an hill, that may be for the guiding of the way of those that are not able to see it and that do not know it, that we may be but little instruments in thy holy fingers for the welfare of this people, and that thou may so bless us that eternity may reveal the fruits in the midst of the flock, and that thou may receive the glory to all eternity. Lord, we know not how thou workest. It is a mystery. Thy way is in the sea, and thy footsteps are not known. Man will have to fall on the outside of it in order that thou may receive all the honor and the glory. It is to us so often a perplexity,
how that thou dost lead, but Lord, that thou may increase, and that we may decrease, and that thy name thereby may receive all the glory. Look on all thy people. Oh, may we be also instruments in thy holy fingers, and for their instruction and for their leading, that it may not be as a place that is so empty and void of all that is necessary, the food and drink for thy church, but that thou, despite our wretchedness, may provide for thy people, and that thou may increase their number in the midst of us amongst young and old. Do look upon the little lambs of the flock. Oh, may they also be in the midst of us. They need sometimes to be carried in the bosom of the great shepherd. Oh, that thou may therefore use the offices to that end. And the sheep also, those that know thy voice and that will follow thee, that thou may give them to hear thy voice also in the midst of thy house. And that thou may gather new lambs into thy flock. And that we may not be those that to stand on thy left hand on that great day of days, after all the labors of the offices are done in the midst of us. Do look on all that are afflicted and sick. Wilt thou be with those that are not able to be with us in this day, wherever that they may be, that thou may grant them a Sabbath day's blessing and strength for their bodies. Also, the relatives of some in the midst of us, those that are so very weak and ill, Lord, that thou may supply for them those that mourn, that have stood at the open grave. Also, those that must go into the hospital to receive tests for the body, and the many concerns that there may be in the midst of us, Lord, that thou may supply for all the natural needs, and that thou may give in this morning hour a little separation from all the needs and the cares and the concerns, that we may, for a few moments, be given to meditate upon thy truth, that it may be profitable for the need of our souls. Lead us then into all thy truth, and forgive and take away all that is sinful. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 367, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Gracious Lord, remember David, how he made thy house his care, how he vowed to seek no pleasure till thy house he should prepare. The last collection today is for our school. Psalter 367, 1, 2, and 4. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the portion of God's Word that was read to you, Matthew 8, and thereof verses 19 through 22. Matthew 8, verses 19 through 22. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. So far, the words of our text. Christ's instruction concerning discipleship first, an eager scribe rejected. Second, a lingering disciple corrected. Christ's instruction concerning discipleship, an eager scribe rejected, and second, a lingering disciple corrected. Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord Jesus' congregation has begun his public ministry. He begins to preach. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he goes about, we read, to heal the sick, to cast out devils. These were the testimonies from heaven that he was the Son of God. And then he has gathered unto him also his own disciples that should go out and help him in all of his labors. And then the multitudes, the people, they come out more and more as they hear, as they see, then they are drawn after the Lord Jesus Christ. We read, they are astonished. Never man spake like this man. They are astonished at his doctrine. Most of them, and they did not come for the good of their souls. Most of them came that they may see the miracles, that they may eat of the bread, and they had no need within their own souls. Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Who is this? This is, we read, a certain scribe. And what is a scribe? A scribe is one whose business it was to study and interpret the law. That was not a position that always existed. We know that Ezra was both a priest and a scribe, a scholar. There was a time that the work of the scribes, the study of the law, that belonged to the priesthood. But the more that the law was held in high esteem, the more that position became a position in itself, so that a whole new class, as it were, of scholars developed, that was the scribes. Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. So they are the words then of such a scribe. It is a wonder that also among the Pharisees and among the scribes, and that there were those that we see from time to time that did not go along with the main part of them. There were those of them also that very few here and there that did believe the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have a ready scribe in the law of Moses, and he comes to the Lord Jesus not as the other scribes and Pharisees almost always came. That was that they may entrap him in his words and that they may ensnare him. But here is a man, we would say, who has some much better intentions. They are good intentions. It is a very worthy resolution that is lying in the heart of this scribe. Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. What does he want? He wants to be a disciple. He wants to be part of that inner circle. He wants to be one of those favored few. He wants to be a preacher. He wants to be an office bearer. We would say, what an asset. What an asset would such a man be to that circle that the Lord Jesus Christ has chosen for himself. What an asset would be such a man when he would go over the length and the breadth of the world, that it may be and that his hands and his words also may be used for the extension of that kingdom of God. Because very soon, and then the disciples are going to be sent out. And we know that that field of labors for the disciples, that was a field of labor that was so very, very great. And that soon the disciples, they are going to be scattered here and there over the face of the whole then known world. Oh, how many places? How many places would never receive that opportunity to hear the word of God? How many places would never hear of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ simply because there was not enough persons to go out and to bring that name unto the ends of the world? Or we would say, what an asset. That was a man also that was full of knowledge. That was a man who has studied. That was a man who was not ignorant in all the things of religion. That is a man who would have known the Old Testament so very, very well. That was a man who had a good mind. That was a man who would be able to understand the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ in his coming. That was a man who would be able to lay next to each other all of the prophecies, who would be able to lay next to them the fulfillment that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. We would say that was a man who would be able to prove unto the people that this is the very Christ. Or we would say, what an asset, a man so full of knowledge, a man also that is so full of zeal. That is not a man that needs to be told to go. That is a man who has made a choice, even his own choice. So there is something within this man already. We do not need to place it there. We do not need to urge this man. No, because there is something already there. There is something that is in this man that is moving him, that he has a desire also to do this work. What an asset. What an asset, we would say. Then how many would hear the voice of this man, that they may be gathered into that church of the Lord, that church of all ages. Oh, how glad will the Lord Jesus Christ be with such a man. Oh, that there are such that have a desire, that there are such that are filled with zeal to go forward unto his work. The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Who is speaking? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. From our side, congregation, we would say, what a strange answer that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to this man. The answers that the Lord gives, they are not very often the same as the answers that you and I would give, that men would give. Will the Lord then discourage this man? Will the Lord then send this man away? Will the Lord then reject this man? Yes, he will. Say, how is that possible? That all the talent, that all that is laying in this man, that the Lord Jesus, he will completely reject it. It is possible because man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. You say, but what did Paul say? Paul wrote to Timothy. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, then he desires a good thing. Indeed, that is a good thing. He desires a good work. It is a good work. Who may deny the blessedness of that work that is in the office? Who may deny the importance of that work? Because it is a work that has to do not with the natural things, but it is a work that has to do with the need of the souls of men. It is a work that is for eternity and not only for the time. And yet Paul does not say that every desire to do that good work is a good and a right desire. Paul does not say that every desire for that work is coming out of a right motive. Paul does not say that every desire for that work is a desire which is given from above. Paul himself has at one time rejected Mark. He went now with them to the work. He went back again. And now what is it with this man, this ready scribe? Well, this man desires to run without a calling. He is not called. He is not sent to go. As we can read that the Lord Jesus has gone from one to the other, and he has called each one of his disciples. We read that of Joab also, that he sent someone when a message was necessary to go to David. That Joab also sent a messenger. Who was that, children? Do you know his name? It was Cushai. He was an Ethiopian, black man. And he was told to run to bring the tidings, the message, and that the victory had been won. And then there was Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And he says, howsoever, let me run also. And Joab says to him, wherefore wilt thou run, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? And indeed so it was. Because apparently Cushai was a man who had been an eyewitness of that which had taken place. And although that Ahimaaz was a good man, he apparently was not there. He has seen a great tumult, he says, but I knew not what it was. Although we must believe that it was an evasion on his part, and yet when Joab sends out Cushai, then Joab understands that it is a man who is able to answer questions. That is a man who has been an eyewitness. That is a man who has stood and who has seen everything that has taken place. And so the Lord So the Lord is also choosing those whom he is calling unto his offices within his church. And now we read this man, that this man is a man who is eager to go from his own side, but he goes without a calling from the side of the Lord. What does Paul write to the Hebrews? No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Congregation, we have heard when the Lord Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem, that he would be born in Bethlehem. Why? Because it is the word of the Lord that he will be born in Bethlehem. And when the whole world needs to be turned upside down so that the Lord Jesus will be born in Bethlehem, then the whole world will be turned upside down for it. And now if we have a desire for that office of a bishop, if we have a desire for an office in the church of God, then if that desire is actually a desire that comes from the Lord, then we do not need to have our fingers in the fulfillment of this desire. Because when the whole world would have to be turned upside down, when the Lord will have us to be placed in such a place, then it is going to be. And then we do not need from our side to be running ahead of the Lord. Then the Lord will call us. Then the Lord will call us internally. But not only will he give an internal call, but the Lord will also work everything out in the way of his providence. That the Lord will also guide the hearts of men who are in those places that they are given to make decisions so that will happen according to the will of the Lord. This man offers himself. He offers his services. He says, I will follow. But he does not wait. He does not wait to be called of the Lord. Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. What does the Lord Jesus say to him? He says, you seek an office. But have you rightly considered what belongs to this office? Have you rightly considered what belongs to following me? What do you look for in this office? You look for the honor of the office. For there is an honor connected to it. He says, you believe when you see all the multitudes and that I am the Messiah. And you see all of these persons. And you believe that I am going to sit upon the throne. And you are looking now for a position, and you are looking for a position of trust, and maybe looking for a position of power, that you also may be a ruler in Israel. You have carnal expectations. You have vain expectations. But they are all empty. They are all void of that which is good. And there is something you do not realize. You do not realize that place that I came to take up in this world. You do not realize that I did not come to take up a place of honor in this world. You say, I will follow thee whithersoever that thou goest, but you will not. Because your zeal that comes out of your own heart, and as soon as you find out what that way is that I am going, that it is not a way of increasing in this world, but it is a way of decreasing in this world. And as soon as you find out what is connected to that office, then you are not going to follow me anymore. You have never considered that my way, that is a way of the cross, to endure poverty and scorn and reproach from men. No. You say, I will follow thee whithersoever that thou goest. But as soon as persecution arises because of the word, then you are going to be offended. You have not counted the cost of following me. Congregation, we have entered into the new year. Maybe we have also made such a resolution, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever that thou goest, just like that scribe. No, not for an office, maybe, but even as a member in the church. That is a good resolution, but have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost of following him? Have you counted the cost of walking in all of his commandments in truth? Or do you just rush at this? Do you just rush at this in your own strength, in your own might, and without consideration, ignorant of yourself and ignorant of that way that the Lord is leading his people in this life? Do you wish to be converted? Do you really wish to be converted? Do you know? Do you know what people then you will have to join? You will have to join an afflicted and a poor people that are given to place their trust in the Lord. In the time of the persecutions of the Roman emperors, then it was not so easy to join the church. That is not something that was done in a light way, because there were consequences in this world. But then the persecution ceased. And when the persecution stopped, then it became very different, and many more people joined in the church. But their convictions, congregation, they were so very much, much lighter. How is that young people that are in the confession class? Or how is it with your convictions? When you have a desire, when you hope in the year to come to become a member of the church, or then is it only in a light way? Or is it as even this man who says, I will follow thee whithersoever that thou goest? But when such will come into the church, then they are bringing nothing but problems and difficulties within the church. New ideas, a superficiality in the life, in the doctrine, in the walk. Do we not see that today? What a responsibility. Master, I will follow thee in all places whithersoever that thou goest. A good resolution, but a superficial resolution. Came out of ignorance, and the Lord knew that it was never going to last. And then it is the best. It is the best when such a person, he is never received into that office. It is the best for himself, and it is the best for God's church. Therefore, an eager scribe rejected. But now in our second thought, a lingering disciple corrected. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Who is this man? We read it as one of his disciples. Luke writes, and he said to another, follow me. Thus, it is a man who has received a calling from the Lord, that the Lord will have him to go forth and to preach his word, the kingdom of God. It is a lawful calling of that master to do his work, a calling of that great office bearer. Lord, suffer me to go and bury my father. Sometimes there is more zeal in those who are not called and sent than there is in those who are truly called and sent. To their shame, that man is not completely unwilling to go. He does not reject that office altogether. But what does he say to the Lord? He says, Lord, not yet. Not yet. Let me wait a little while. It is not yet a good time for me. Why? Not actually that his father had died already, but probably that his father was becoming very old. Maybe that his father was becoming sickly. And then that man, he says, Lord, I have not yet finished my temporal responsibilities. I want to take care of my father. Maybe for a few years yet I have him in this world. And then when I am all done, then I will come. And then I will take up that calling that thou sayest unto me, and then I will follow thee. Thus a man called by the Lord to an office, but a man who has not that zeal as he ought to have. We read that of Moses also, do we not? And Moses objects. Moses says, Lord, he says, I am of a slow speech. I am of a slow tongue. Send another person, because I cannot do this work. The Lord speaks to Gideon. Gideon has to go. Gideon says unto the Lord, Lord, who am I? What is my father's house? Wherewith, what do I have? Wherewith shall I save Israel? Oh, that unwilling mind. That unwilling mind that is never lacking an excuse before the Lord. Then we would say, how is it possible? How can such a man go forward to his work? How can such a man last in all those duties that are laid before him? How can such a man go through the trials and that office is going to take him in this life? He is so slow to take up his labors. And then you have to tell that man time and again what he has to do. And if he is so slow to take up those labors, how is it possible that he is going to now be diligent in the performance of his work? What would we do? Oh, we are ready to lay hands on that willing scribe. Oh, that is a person, we say, that is a person that is much more fit for this work. But now the searcher of the heart. The searcher of the heart knows very differently concerning these two men. And it is not lying in what is in that man, but it is lying in that calling of the Lord. And when that calling of the Lord is there, then the Lord will supply everything that is lacking in the life of that people. The Lord Jesus does not reject this man because of his error. No, he corrects him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. What does he mean? He does not condemn burial. No, he actually confirms that a person ought to be buried. Let the dead bury their dead. Who are those dead? Those dead that the Lord Jesus said ought to bury the dead. That is the world. That is the wicked in this world. That is, he says, those who are dead to God. Those who are dead to everything that is spiritual. The Lord Jesus says to this man, let them now do this duty. Because they are always employed about the natural things. Let them now take care of those natural things. That is not your work. I call you to something else. I call you to a higher employment. And I call you to leave all of that to those other persons, because they are not called and they are not qualified to do this very special work. And then you must not wait. You must not wait, you must not linger, because out there are those that must be called. There are those who must be taken out of nature's darkness and must be brought into my marvelous light. There are those who are laying in their ignorance. There are those who need to be instructed. And my name that is going to be glorified in the bringing in of my church. And now what I call you unto, that comes first, that becomes before your father and your mother and your wife and your daughter and your sisters and your brethren. Yes, before your own life also. So that whosoever loveth father or mother more than me cannot be my disciple. Congregation, the offices in the church are a great blessing. And we must install office bearers in this morning. We have for you one question. Were those offices ever a blessing to you? These are the means. Why does the Lord do this? Why does the Lord send out ministers? Why would the Lord have elders and deacons within his church? Because this is the means that he is gathering his people. And now so year after year, the office bearers, and they are installed also in our midst. What is now the prophet that those offices have been to you? It is not the institution of men. They are men. But it is not the institution of men. It is an institution of the Lord, whereby the Lord is working. Are we then seeking, and have we ever received profit from those offices? That which is natural may be for the good of that which is spiritual. Was that ever used to give light in your dark soul? Oh, did you ever feel something of that new life through those offices? Was there ever instruction and that was given unto your soul? Then not for all the needs that are in this world, but was there ever anything by which those offices were used to send you different out of that house of God than that you had come in? Did the Lord ever touch your heart through those offices which he has given now in your midst year after year for so many years? No, do not ever seek the office for yourself. Do not seek it for yourself. Do not seek it for your husband. Because that is nothing more than a seeking of ourselves that actually is so very short-sighted. Why? Because there are also so very many responsibilities and so much self-denial that must go along with those offices. Also for the families, it is true. Sometimes the Lord reveals to a person that he will have to be in an office. And that is different. But when we may believe that the Lord has shown to us that one day we must bear such an office, O congregation, then let him also fulfill it. Oh, then do not run ahead of the Lord, but let the Lord go before you. That also in the way of his providences, and that we may rest in his will until that time, and that the Lord sees fit to accomplish that desire that he has placed in your heart. You say there are offices that sometimes we see they are nothing, they are for nothing but destruction, and that is true also. Because sometimes the Lord is placing a man in an office for the punishment of the people. For the punishment of the people. for the sin of the people. Only think about King Saul. It was the sin of the people that they desired a king instead of the Lord. And then look at what the Lord gave to them. And then that people have a place. They have a place and not to come against that king, that office bearer, but they have a place to go before the Lord in true repentance, in true remorse, and to desire the Lord to forgive all their iniquity and make it right. Even a Judas, was lawfully called by the Lord, knowing who that he was. And yet it was for a purpose that the Lord was going to use, mystery to man, but the Lord was going to use for the good of his church. O congregation, that we may seek that those offices may be for our profit, for the profit of ourselves, for the profit of our children. These are men. They are fallen men. Do you know what that means? That means that they are men who are also liable to fall in this life. There are men who need also by times admonishment. Or are we ready to do so? That is, are we ready to go unto them personally? And are we ready to bring that, not on the streets of Ashkelon, but are we ready to bring that through the right channels? Be careful. Be careful, because they are offices that they come from above. And therefore, be careful with rumors. Receive not an accusation against an elder, except by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Oh, let it not just be this or that rumor that we hear. But when a person is in an office, then the Lord, in a very special way, because it is his own institution, then the Lord, in a very special way, regardless of that man and who he is, the Lord is in a special way looking over that office. The angels do not dare to bring a railing accusation against the office bearers that the Lord places. Speak then not freely against them. Do not do so in your own homes. Do not do so to your children, to your young people. You will only break down the church. You will only break down your own family. Take heed. Take heed to the admonitions. Take heed to the warnings. Open your soul's experience for their inspection. Pray. Oh, pray for fallen men as office bearers within the church of God, and that the office bearers may be to your soul's profit, and may the Lord remember us. May the Lord so remember us as a congregation that he may unite us, that we may be so one on the at the throne of grace, so one upon our knees, seeking the presence of the great office bearer, seeking the presence of that Holy Spirit of the Lord, that he may through the offices gather us and our children, and that eternity may reveal that there was profit also in our midst. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 355, the first stanza. All who with heart confiding depend on God alone, like Zion's mount abiding, shall ne'er be overthrown. And what follows in the first stanza of 355. We will now read the form of ordination of elders and deacons, which can be found on page 70 or 145 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved Christians, you know, and that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren here present who are chosen to the office of elders and deacons in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had aught to allege why they should not be ordained in their respective offices. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, and we shall therefore at present in the name of the Lord proceed to their ordination. But first, you who are to be ordained, and all those who are here present, shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elders and deacons. Of the elders, it is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament and signifieth a person who is placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ. For the Apostle saith, the elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. Hence it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the Apostolic Church, the former whereof did labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments, but the others who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church bore a particular office, namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul, Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, he that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church, 1 Corinthians 12. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them, as in the Old Testament the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle, in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remain distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church to the end, that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, tell the church, which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether every one properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent as much as possible the sacraments from being profaned, also to act according to the Christian discipline against the impenitent and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church, as doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, Since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order among Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance, therefore it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with their good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word, yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty, particularly to have a regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read, Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. Concerning the deacons, of the origin and institution of their office, we may read Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministrations, men were chosen by the advice of the apostles who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely, that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor, yea, to do their utmost endeavors that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor and with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires, Romans 12 to Corinthians 9, for which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture. We now ask those who are to be installed into their office to arise. To the end, therefore, beloved brethren, Mr. Martin Niels and Mr. Henry Van Sluis, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your respective offices upon you, you shall answer in the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you, both elder and deacon, whether you do not feel in your hearts that you are lawfully called of God's church, and consequently of God himself, to these your respective offices. Secondly, whether ye believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and do reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether ye promise, agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully, according to your ability, to discharge your respective offices as they are here described, as elder in the government of the church together with the ministers of the word, and as deacon in the ministration to the poor. Do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourself in case ye should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church. What is your answer, Mr. Martin Niels?
Yes.
Mr. Henry Van Sluis?
Yes.
The Almighty God and Father replenish you with His grace that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your offices. Brothers, it is not the first time that you are being installed as office bearers for some years. Already, you have been given to be in this office. And then you know what it is to be in the public life. And being in that public life, and then we know that there are times that we are also looking sometimes with longing and with envy at the private life because of that which goes along also with the offices wherein the Lord has placed us, and that we are human beings, and that even when it may be our privilege not to become weary of the work, then sometimes there is weariness in the work. And then when we have just a little knowledge of what lies within us, then as we go about those labors, then Satan is also very often nearby. When we are coming to do the work and the leading of the congregation in the reading and trying to lay before the Lord the needs in prayer, and then it can be that we look so much up against this work that we say, who am I that I should perform such labors? When decisions need to be made within the consistory, that we feel the far-reaching consequences of those decisions, and our own ignorance, then sometimes we feel how that we are insufficient for all of these things. When it lays upon us as a duty that we should go forth to our members and that we have to speak a word of admonishment to this one or that one, and within our own hearts rise all kinds of objections, and our own sin that is coming into the foreground, then we say, and then who am I to go to admonish one another, that it is an office that should be laid upon someone else. When by times we feel something of our shortness in our own families, to our wives and to our children, then sometimes we say, is it not sufficient that it is time that I lay down my office and I seek once again that private life? And then there are so many other things. The criticism that can come, and all that comes along with it. And there is, brothers, one consolation. One consolation that we may have through all that that office brings with it. And that is that we have not run of our own accord. Then we have heard of two men. One would go and the other says, Lord, Lord, let me stay a little while. That one that would be chosen by man, and the other that was chosen by the Lord. And now the Lord has, in a lawful way, placed upon you this office. And therefore, in all the trials and in everything that can come against this work, then this we may still lay before Him. And with this we may go on our knees in our secret chambers
and we may ask him for that wisdom and that is necessary in all these ways, and that we may ask him for protection and that the Lord would keep us as office bearers from bringing a blot upon his name and upon his church. And then there are also other times. And then we may feel something of the faithfulness of the Lord as we may go forward in our office. When we may be on house visitation by times, that the Lord may give us such a good evening together with the families in the congregation, that the Lord may give us a little courage when we may hear something of perhaps the concerns that are laying in the heart. When sometimes the Lord gives that opening and that freedom in the leading of the worship services, and that we may feel how good it is and what a privilege that it is, and that we may do this work, then we must say and that indeed there are other times, and then the Lord shows and that he is faithful who calls. And we therefore do acknowledge your willingness, and we are glad with your willingness that you are willing to take up this task in our midst once again. That willingness is a great blessing that it comes also from the side of the Lord, and we hope that there may also be that willingness laid in the hearts of your wives and in the hearts of your children when they also must deny themselves for this labor. May the Lord give to them also that reward of grace, and may your labor in our midst be profitable to the souls of this people. Congregation, we would like you to stand and to sing Psalter 447 on behalf of these two office bearers. 447, the third stanza, "Let peace be found within thy walls, and in thy palaces repose. Jehovah, bless and prosper those who dwell within thy favored halls." The third stanza of 447, standing.
Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church, which is committed to you, and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution everyone against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed. Provide for the true widows and orphans. Show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be ye all with one accord faithful in your offices, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourself a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich, give liberally and contribute willingly, and ye poor, be poor in spirit and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that hath stolen or who hath been burdensome to his neighbors steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, and that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective callings, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants by whom Thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that Thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with Thy Spirit. We beseech Thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that every one may, in his respective office, acquit himself as is becoming the elders, in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of Thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with Thy holy word. Give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially Thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that every one acquitting himself of his duty, Thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 247, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. 1, 2, 3, and 6 of Psalter 247. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.